It is such a delight to be able to gather together with you around the Holy Word of God. We are so thankful that we have this privilege, and it's such a blessing from the Lord for Him to meet with us concerning the spirit of the Scriptures. We invite you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 52 and verse number 13. Isaiah 52, 13. Behold my servant. We trust that God will help us today. We invite you to pray for us as we pray in our hearts and minds for you, and trust that the Holy Spirit will bless our souls to the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I hope you are where you can have your Bible open before you. If you can't, that's all right. But we're going to look at a lot of different scriptures. Lord willing, we're planning to. We'll see what the Lord does when we get into it. So we invite you to follow along with us. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse number 13. This is God speaking through Isaiah and to Isaiah to prophesy of the coming Messiah, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall deal wisely. He shall be exalted, that is, let's read the rest of the verse, and extolled, brought up high, and be very high. That's what it means. He shall be very high, be exalted, for God hath highly exalted him, Philippians chapter 2. As many as were astonished or astonished, same word astonished, at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. They beat the Lord Jesus Christ unmercifully. And by the time they got through with him, he was not recognizable as a man, although he was the very servant of Almighty God. And he says, so shall he sprinkle many nations. God exalted him, men rejected him and beat him and turned their back on him, and that's how he shall sprinkle many nations. The kings that shut their mouths at him shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our preaching, our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who shall believe this? It's unbelievable of the greatness and the glory of Christ, and the way men treated him is in the very opposite. And he says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's not a beautiful man to look upon in the outward appearance. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. I venture to say to you that every so-called picture of Jesus is false. It's of some fanciful imagination. This is that which is reality, and what artist would like to paint this picture? He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. So, you say, well, I'd like to live in that day and seen the Lord Jesus. No, you wouldn't. The only way to see, quote unquote, the Lord Jesus is by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And God said you need to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God. It's not that we should see him anyhow. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, man, I hope that's where it is. I say these things, then I think, uh-oh, What if it's not that? All right, first, let's look and see. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's try that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. This old, let's look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Once regenerating grace has come into the world, and it has at the Pentecost, at the time of Pentecost, then after that you can't know any man after the flesh, because God makes him a new creature. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Now, since the Holy Spirit has come, from that point on, you can't know Christ after the flesh. If you want a description of the Lord Jesus Christ, you read Revelation chapter 1. Eyes of fire, tongue was a sword, feet as brass, hair as wool. You don't have a photo snap. You don't have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ like you see in these religious paintings, and they even dare to put pictures in what they call Bibles so that you can see Jesus. Friend, that's of the devil. The only way you see Jesus is by the Holy Spirit revealing him to your soul. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are of God. So, if a man's not saved, you can't know him because he don't even really know himself. We don't really know who we are except we know ourselves in Christ after we are born again. So we see that this is the way that is. Who hath believed our report? How in the world would you have recognized this person that it speaks of as being not having any beauty, that we should behold him, that as many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form was more marred than the sons of men. That's not who you want to look upon in your natural man. That which we call beauty and that which is to be desired and looked upon, that's not the Lord Jesus. His beauty was in his spirit. His beauty was in his reflection of God to our souls, not of his outward appearance to our eyes. Now, this passage, some say, it speaks of Jeremiah or Isaiah, and the Jews, they say it pictures the history of the Jewish people, and everybody misses it, and they don't understand that it's speaking strictly of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to see that. Behold my servant. Look at Acts chapter 8. The New Testament has the Old Testament revealed. The Old Testament has the New Testament concealed. So at the mouth of two witnesses, the Old and the New Covenants, Old and New Testament, Old and New Contracts, they are to be put together for us to clearly see what God is saying to us. So we have this passage set forth to us in a clear way in the book of Acts chapter number 8. In Acts chapter 8, in verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And so the Holy Spirit tells Philip that I got a place I want you to go preach to one person. But look what a blessing it is to us here 2,000 years later, thankful to God that God told him to go, thankful to God that Philip heard his voice and obeyed it. Now we have this written down for us by Luke the physician to confirm to us the revelation of God that Isaiah chapter 52 and 53 speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. And he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of her treasury. Man, he must have been a good man. People that have charge of the money in America usually turn out to be a bunch of thieves. He was in charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was in bad shape, though. He came to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 8. The temple veil had already been split. If he went into the temple, all he saw was these priests up on a ladder trying to stitch it all back together and put back together that which God had torn apart. The Messiah had already been crucified. The gospel had already been scattered and sent out from Jerusalem. And he said he was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah. That's a transliteration from Hebrew to Greek. The Hebrew is Isaiah. Translate that into Greek, it comes out Isaiah, the prophet. Now, this man was very rich. He had all of this queen's money, the queen of Ethiopia. So he must have had a big salary, and he was a very rich man. How do you know he was rich? Well, he had his own chariot, and he actually had a book of the Bible. Now, think about it. No printing presses. There was no copying and pasting. The only way he could have had a copy of the book of Isaiah was if somebody had sat down and wrote it all out for him, like a scribe and read the book of Isaiah and copied it off and gave him a copy. One book of the Bible had to be very rich. You got 66 books laying there on your table or in your lap, and we don't think at all anything about it. It's just common to us. We need to be careful. Listen. Was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near. Now in verse 26, he said, arise and go towards the south. Now he says, now that you're down here, let me tell you exactly who I want you to see. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, and I want you to notice in verse number 26, the angel of the Lord speaks to Philip. And then in verse number 29, the Spirit of God speaks to Philip. Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? That's a good question, because everybody reads the Bible doesn't understand it. And there's so many false teachings, and there's so much error in the world based on somebody's concept or idea of the Bible. They don't understand what they're reading. He was very honest, and the eunuch looks at Philip and says, how can I except some man should guide me? My, what an amazing man this was. This was not an arrogant, rich man that said, none of your business, I'll figure it out for myself. Here was a man that God was dealing with. And he said, I just need somebody to help me see this. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He invited Philip up into his chariot to sit with him, to talk with him about the scriptures. Amazing. No telling what kind of chariot it was. I don't know if it was two wheels, four wheels, what it was, but I guarantee you it was the latest edition, the latest model because he's very rich. But he didn't mind Philip coming up. He didn't know Philip from Adam's house cat. He just said, if you can help me with this, you're welcome to come sit with me. And so he said, and verse 32 of Acts chapter 8, the place of the scripture which he read was this. And here he is reading Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb to his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Is Isaiah talking about Isaiah, or is he talking about some other man? Man, that was all that preached, that Philip wanted to hear. Then verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, listen, and preached unto him Jesus. Now, this wasn't anything arbitrary. Like I told you, the angel of the Lord speaks to Philip in verse 26. The Holy Ghost speaks to him in verse 29. This thing was directed of the Lord. God was going to use this eunuch to go back to Ethiopia and be a missionary. And ain't no telling what transpired from this one meeting. And he goes back and his heart is so filled with God that he begins to tell everybody what he's learned from the book of Isaiah. From this book that you and I are reading now. And they heard the Holy Spirit open it up and tell them about Jesus. I want you to notice, it doesn't say he opened his mouth and preached to him concerning the doctrine of the Messiah. No, it says he opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. Isn't that amazing? It was a certain eunuch in a certain chariot going a certain way, returning from Jerusalem. It was all over with. He missed the whole thing. But he hadn't quit searching. He's still looking. And Philip is to join himself to that certain chariot, to that certain man. And he had a certain book, Isaiah, which you and I have just read. And he wants to know, who is he talking about? Without hesitation and with precise understanding, Philip preached to him Jesus from Isaiah 52 and 53. Now, you say he was reading Isaiah 53. Well, the chapter divisions in your Bible are not inspired of God. Actually, Isaiah 53 should start with Isaiah 52:13. That's where it begins. The subject begins. So we're not wrong in saying that we're reading the exact same scripture that this eunuch was reading. And now they come to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? How in the world does the eunuch come to understand that he is to be baptized from Isaiah 53? The Holy Ghost is speaking to him through Philip. Listen, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. Now, wait a minute. I'm not Philip, and you're not the eunuch. And I guarantee you, you're not sitting in a chariot. But this applies to us in reading Isaiah 53, the same as it did to Philip and the eunuch. And I can say to you, and I say to me also, if thou believest with all thine heart. Now, are you going to receive this video, this post on YouTube as just being so much entertainment because it's coming through your television set or your telephone? Or are you going to be like this and say, this is God's word. I'm able to hear that which was of ancient revelation. Isaiah had to write it down. How in the world did the writings of that prophet get kept for all those hundreds of years until the eunuch could buy him a copy, being a rich man? You didn't get a whole copy of the whole Bible. Your having the whole Bible is an amazing miracle of God brought down to you to this hour. This man had one book, but it was enough. And this was the passage that he was reading, and it was enough. And God sent one missionary to him, Philip, who'd just come out of a big revival, and there was a great work of God going on there. And God said, now leave all of that and go south into the desert. I want you to preach to one man. Philip had to be a man of God, because most preachers don't want to leave a big meeting and go out in the desert and preach to one fellow. They want to put it on their channel and on their YouTube and show how great they are. Well, never mind. Listen. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. That's what the man of God required of the eunuch. If you are now listening to a man of God, can I not say as Philip did by the same Holy Spirit, if thou believest with all thy heart. Friend, this is more than just YouTube entertainment. This is the same thing that was going on here with the eunuch and with Philip. If it's not, why are you listening to me? If there is not a man of God opening up the scriptures by the Holy Spirit to you, what are we doing here? Listen. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest what? Be baptized. And here's his testimony. And listen, this is that which the eunuch got from Philip's preaching Jesus out of Isaiah 53. And I hope and pray to God that this is what comes to us by the Holy Spirit in this same passage. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Wait a minute. The name Jesus does not appear in Isaiah 53. God says, behold my servant. And he begins to speak of that which is past. He's my servant. We've been together from all eternity. We'll see that in John 17 if we can get to it today. And he's speaking of that which is future, that Jesus is going to be born of a virgin and brought to the place to where he's going to be crucified by wicked hands, but only as God has ordained. So this thing is of the past and has a great future, but the name Jesus is not in these scriptures. It was in the preaching of Philip. He opened the scriptures at the same place and preached to him Jesus. So, dear soul, we're not supposed to be studying Isaiah for Isaiah the prophet's sake to learn more about him, though we will. Dear soul, we are supposed to be finding the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For again, John 5:39, search the scriptures. That's what we're doing. What do you mean, Lord? Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. I thought I had eternal life for 7 years before God saved me. How did that happen? I got under religious practice. They gave me a New Testament when they baptized me, but they didn't know it, and I didn't know it at that time. I went down a dry center and came up a wet center. That's all that happened to me. And I got a New Testament, a little New Testament, of which I still have. And dear soul, I was baptized in the city water system, but I wasn't baptized into the Holy Spirit and into Christ. So we see that we think we have eternal life. John 5:39. Search the scriptures. We should. But wait a minute. In them ye think ye have eternal life, but Lord, what are they supposed to reveal to us? But they, the scriptures, are they which testify of me, Jesus said. We are supposed to be finding the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said that Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. And he didn't preach to him about the Babylonian captivity or this or that and the other, about Herod's temple or, you know, about Solomon's temple or about all the history of the Jews. He preached to him Jesus. He didn't preach to him the prophet Isaiah and make him know about Isaiah. There is only one thing that we are supposed to be coming to understand and perceive as we open this book. Jesus. That's it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the Word. Now, the letter of the law, the printed page, can get you in trouble. The prophets, the apostle said, the letter of the law killeth. And it did me for 7 years. Dead in trespasses and sin and not knowing it. Man, I'm glad that the Lord didn't come back during those 7 years. Humanly speaking, I'd have went to hell. Listen, but there came a time when the Lord opened not only the scriptures, but he opened my heart. And the two on the road to Emmaus say in Luke chapter 24, did not our heart burn within us while he opened unto us the scriptures by the way? They were disciples of the Lord. But they were leaving Jerusalem, which was contrary to God's command. They were going to Emmaus, a city known for its hot springs and be able to rest and have relaxation. They were quitting on God and going to have some R&R, rest and relaxation. And Jesus came and showed unto them their hearts. He came and made their hearts burn within them while he opened the scriptures and testified to them of everything in the Bible, in the Psalms, in the prophets, in the law, everything that it concerned him. And so when he broke bread and made known who he was, he disappeared. And I don't blame him. Why is it that we make so much to do and we think we're so right, going the wrong way, doing the wrong thing, because we are religious? And I'm so glad the shepherd went and got these two sheep and caused them to come back to Jerusalem. And then he appeared to all of them, including those two. And while those two were testifying of what happened to them on that road to Emmaus, Jesus appeared. And I hope and pray to God that wherever you are right now, whenever you are watching this, that God will appear to you. I hope and pray God is appearing to me. And make me understand and see and perceive the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a fictitious, I can say it, sit still, fictitious Jesus, some pope or some priest or some figment of our imagination, something that we have to touch our head and shoulders and do all this monkey dust stuff, you know, too. Listen, that the person and the reality of the spiritual man, Jesus Christ, may form himself in our hearts and minds and make us understand and know there's something different about it when Jesus opens to us the scriptures. It causes our hearts to burn within us. So he opened up to them the scriptures on the road to Emmaus, but when they got back to the upper room, he opened to them their understanding. 1 John 5:20. comes to mind. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 20. Listen, and we know that the Son of God is come. We know that. But listen, the next thing is, comma, that and giveth us an understanding. Dear soul, Christ is our wisdom, 1 Corinthians 1:30. And if you have Christ in your heart, you have wisdom in your heart. Therefore, you cannot be ignorant of the things of God if Jesus dwells within you. We understand that the Son of God is come. Son of God is come. And we understand that he hath given to us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. 1 John 5:20. So the message that Philip has is not, well, let me tell you about Isaiah. Let me tell you about Messiah. No. He had one word that he wanted to preach to him. He preached unto him Jesus. That's what we need. Because there's nothing about this Bible that we ought to understand and perceive except Jesus. Now, Dr. Bottlestopper will go to school for years so that he can land him a big congregation and make a lot of money, good salary, and be esteemed among men, that he might give them lectures concerning the historic, you know, use of the law of God and, you know, and try to preach to them how many hairs in that horse's tail in the book of the Revelation. That's why God chooses base things and things that are naught and things that are without, so that they might be able to depend upon the Holy Spirit to do that which God alone requires true preachers to do. Bring forth the person of Jesus. My job is not to make you Baptists. My job is not to make you Christians, if you understand that word to be simply a religious member of a particular denomination. My responsibility is to declare, Ezekiel chapter 40 and verse 4, all that I see unto the house of Israel, unto you, tell you everything. And that which I see is by the Holy Spirit. So Philip opened up the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. And somehow or another, baptism was made clear. He didn't have to preach a sermon on, well, should we sprinkle or should we immerse? You know, we need to get this straight. He just preached to him Jesus, and the man come to understand he needed to be baptized. Where did that come from? Isaiah chapter 11. Excuse me. Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 11, Lord willing, too. How'd that come out? He understood about that which is truly regenerating grace. It immerses you into the grace of God wherein we stand. So he understood water baptism. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, this was that questioning that this evangelist had with this one who is a, quote, candidate for baptism, unquote. What should we ask those who want to be baptized? If thou believest with all thy heart, we can baptize you. That's it. And he answered and said, listen, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, wait a minute. Just a few verses before this, in answer to Philip's question, understandest what thou readest, he said, how can I except some man show me? Because I don't know whether this man is writing this, is speaking of himself or not. Verse 34 of Acts chapter 8, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this the prophet this, of himself or some other man? He didn't know if Isaiah was talking about Isaiah. Or Isaiah was talking about some other man before Philip started preaching. But once Philip gets through with his message, the man says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He got that from preaching that Philip did by the Holy Spirit out of Isaiah chapter 53. Isn't that amazing? Oh, my soul. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he, Philip, baptized him, the eunuch. And listen, in Matthew chapter 3, and I believe it's verse 17, you can look it up. When Jesus comes forth out of the water, there is such an amazing, glorious manifestation of God that God speaks from heaven. God the Father speaks from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And here comes the eunuch up out of the water. And they were come up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The power of the Holy Spirit got him and translated him to another location altogether, another physical location. Why? You're done here. And preachers, you know what? You shouldn't hang around so much after somebody comes to know Jesus that you turn them to yourself. Get out of the way. They shall all be taught of God. If they are God's people, they will walk with God. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They shall all be taught of God. There's not a single person. I don't care if they didn't even have a preacher. All they had was just one Bible. And the Holy Ghost manifested Christ to them. They'll know about baptism. They'll know about Jesus. They will understand Isaiah's writing is not about Isaiah. It's about the Lord Jesus. God is going to take care of his children. God is going to lead them to himself. Oh, we're in a pandemic. Now they're saying not only is the Delta virus been worse than the COVID-19, but now they got one that got a bunch of numbers, B.1.1. Bunch of other, that's already started in a faraway land, and it's already moving, and it germinates. I think that ain't the right word. Mutates faster than the other two, and here it comes. Well, here we are. I don't know what we're gonna do. I haven't been able to see brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, and I want to see him so bad. I know. Sheep are a flock. I understand that. But this man, the eunuch, got to Jerusalem after the veil was split in two, after Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection and ascension. Everything's over and done with. He missed it all. Thanks be to God he missed it all, because if he'd got into all that mess, he would probably just turned out to be a religionist, humanly speaking. But now he is a Christian. He knows Jesus. He understands and perceives. There's water. Baptize me. Can you baptize? I can if you believe with all your heart. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip said, man, my job's over and done with. The eunuch commands the chariot driver to stop the chariot. And Philip and him both get down out of the chariot and go and into the water. And Philip baptizes him. And immediately, God got Philip away from the revival that was going on in Jerusalem to go preach to one man. But as soon as the Holy Spirit has dealt with the one man, God got Philip away from that. Dear soul, listen. preachers can ruin you if they are trying to glorify themselves by you. You need to be careful. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ. And the next few verses go on to say, but if I preach Jesus Christ unto you, myself will be made manifest. You will understand who I am, because it will the Holy Spirit setting Jesus Christ first and preeminently forth in your heart and life by that preachers will also bring the preachers along with it and show you that this is really a man of God. But, dear soul, he won't be hanging around your bread box. He won't be hanging around your kitchen. He won't be looking at your checkbook. He'd get out of the way, let you walk with God. The just shall live by faith, not by imitating the preacher, but by imitating Jesus. God have mercy. Religion has done more to ruin this nation than anything I know of. We're in a mess, folks. We're in a mess. There's people out there in Dallas, Texas, been standing on the side of the road for weeks now, waiting for JFK, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, to come back from the dead so that he can be voted in as president. I kid you not. I'm talking about intelligent Americans. At least they are intelligent in some things. But there they are waiting on the side of the road and maintaining a vigilance to say, not only is John Fitzgerald Kennedy one of the presidents of the United States, but also his son, John Jr. Both are going to rise from the dead and come back and take over the political scene in America. Folks, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. You need to believe Jesus. There's only one thing that will deliver you from that strong delusion. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, shall set you free. So we understand and see that as soon as the eunuch was baptized and they came up out of the water, phew, Holy Spirit gets Philip and takes him away. What happens to the eunuch? Oh, what happened to my preacher? What's going to happen to me? I don't know what to do. No. It said he went on his way rejoicing. And dear soul, if God takes a preacher away from you so you won't turn towards him, but you'll turn towards the Lord, which he's done in this pandemic, you ought to go on your way rejoicing. Why? Because you've got Jesus in your heart. And we can't go wrong, dear soul, with Jesus in our heart. And listen at verse 40. Acts chapter 8, verse 40. What's happening to the eunuch? He doesn't back up in the chariot reading Isaiah all over again, seeing Jesus on every page and in every verse, and going on his way rejoicing. God's opened up his heart and manifest Christ to him. He believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is eternally translated into the kingdom of God. And dear soul, no telling what he did when he got back to Ethiopia. But what about Philip? Verse 40. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. He didn't have a chariot anymore. I assume there were horses pulling this chariot. Philip, he's got something better. He's riding the Holy Ghost. God grabs him up and puts him in another place. Dear soul, listen, we need to let everybody be what they are in the Lord. Leave them alone. You don't need to be that person. You don't need to be like that person. You need to be like Jesus. We need to be conformed to the image of his dear Son, for that's how we've been predestinated. And one of the reasons I think God busts up churches is in John chapter 15, is that he's pruning that vine. It's getting too bushy. It's getting too little fruity. It's got more bushes and leaves than it has fruit. So God cuts it back, and so that it can bring forth much fruit and more fruit to the glory of Almighty God. We tend to want to do what the apostles did and what they did at the Tower of Babel, is to bunch up. Want to build a tower up to the heavens so that we can be like God. And God wants them to go forth and preach the gospel to every creature. They say, no, we're having too much fun here at Jerusalem. And God said, Philip, get away from this revival going on in Jerusalem. True revival. And go down into the desert and preach to him, Jesus, to that chariot, one that I'll show you. And Philip didn't think, well, okay, then what I'll do is turn around and go back to Jerusalem where I started. That ain't what happened. It says Philip was found in Azotus. Let's see what it says. Chapter 9 and verse 30 is a reference. When the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. It's just another reference to Caesarea. But anyhow, Philip was found at Azotus and passing through. He didn't turn around and go back. He kept on going in the way the Holy Spirit now was leading him. Passing on through where God put him, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Dear soul, this passage right here is that precious passage that we need to understand and read as we have God's command to behold my servant. Isaiah 52 and verse 13. Behold my servant. What do you see when you behold him? He shall deal wisely. He shall be exalted and extolled, and be very high. We want to look at those things later. Those three things, those three elevations that came to the righteous servant of God. So the Lord is dealing with you as an individual. When you die, and you don't want to think about this, and I don't like to think about it either for myself, who's going to hold your hand and go on into eternity with you? Your mama, your daddy, your brothers, your sisters, your child, you know, your sister or brother? No. You're going to have to cross, as the old song used to say, I'm going to have to cross Jordan alone, using Jordan River as a figure of death. But there's one and only one who has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And you have said and testified, he's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my salvation. He's my justification. He's my sanctification. He will be my glorification. Then, dear soul, you need to start getting acquainted with the one that is able to transform you from this life over into the life which we know nothing about experientially. We think we know a lot about it because we've studied the scriptures and we've heard preaching. But we don't know anything about it experientially. The only one I know that ever went across there and then came back was the Lord Jesus Christ. So all we can do is trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not to our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge him. It don't say acknowledge them. That's where you are now. I'm trying to help you with where you are now, separated from everybody except Jesus. What's wrong with that? Why are we whining and pouting and yearning for other brothers and sisters? They didn't die for us. They are in the same boat we're in. They're sinners like we are. Their salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ alone. There is no other name given among men, whereby you must be saved. There's no other name. So we need to understand that we need to interrupt our chariot ride. We need to understand, so what if I got to Jerusalem too late? The veil in the temple was already split. Things were altogether different. The stories that they told about the Spirit of God coming and Peter preaching on Pentecost and all those mighty things that happened, I didn't get in on it. I spent all this money and all this time. And dear soul, we could just hop in a powerful automobile, you know, got heat, got air conditioned. We play a radio player, tape or whatever we want to do, listen to whatever we want to listen to, fly down the road, jump on an airplane, be there and across the nation by the end of the day. We don't think anything. This man, he had to feel every bump between Ethiopia and Jerusalem. It took him a long time to get there, and he didn't get to see what he wanted to see. He didn't get to have what he wanted to have. He was on his way home, still scratching his head and saying, what am I going to do? I finally got this one book of the Bible. Of course, he didn't say Bible. He didn't know what a Bible was. I got this one book, and I'm searching it to see if I can find some of that I have missed. But I'm in a mess, and I'm on my way home. I got to tell the queen that, yes, she gave me time off. She didn't like me leaving. She wanted me there to look after her money. And yet she said, all right, go on, but hurry back. And here I am coming back, and I don't have a good report to give to her. She's going to say, well, did you get what you were looking for? I'm going to have to hang my head in shame and say, no, I'm no better off than I was before I left. That was his condition, riding in his chariot. So what if it was a magnificent chariot? So what if it was a unique book in his lap that somebody had taken the skill and time to be able to write down every single word? And there's a lot of words in the book of Isaiah. God was looking after him. God had isolated him. Watch it now. It wasn't a disease that has isolated you. God used the disease, yeah. But dear soul, it's God. The coronavirus, did I say that right? That don't sound right, but anyhow, the virus that's going around, that's God's virus. He'll do with it what he wants to. 755,000 Americans have died as of now. 755,000 plus Americans have died. And you say, here I am. Everything's wasted. I'm in a mess. I'm separated from everything. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. I haven't got what I wanted. And God's looking at you saying, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth. Who saved you to start with? How did you get saved? Did an angel come and throw a switch and say, well, now you're saved? No. God had to become man. God had to have a human body with blood in it to be able to shed. God had to have extended arms and legs to have nails driven into. God had to have a space between his eyebrow and his hairline, a forehead, for thorns to be pressed down on. God had to have a side for a spear to be jammed into, to cut into the sack of his heart, and blood and water come out for you to be saved, and you are worried about being alone. What, Romans chapter 8 and verse number 3? I think about that so much. The book of Romans chapter 8. in verse number 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. We're in a mess. All we got's the law. It can't do it. It's weak through the flesh. God sending His own Son. God sending His own Son for you and for me. Listen. In the likeness of sinful flesh, Adam and Eve had already sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's when Jesus Christ came. In the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Isn't that amazing? Oh, my soul. God sending His own Son. Who is it you say you believe in? For God so loved the world that He gave what? Who? His only begotten Son. That whosoever, does that include you? That whosoever believeth in Him, not in them. Whosoever believeth in Him. You know, God really misses you. You used to pray and talk to God all day long. You used to have contemplations of God and meditations of the Lord in your heart. God really misses you. Why don't you come back to God? God deprived this eunuch of everything he wanted to see to give him everything God wanted him to have. One preacher, one Jesus, one water, but one rejoicing. It may be that this is the time of the greatest revelation of God to you that you will ever know. It may be that God is coming close to you in such a way that you cannot imagine. It may be that all those prayers that you prayed way back yonder when you first got saved, and you really believed that God was going to do something in your life, that He is now beginning to do it. Don't give up on God before God has opportunity to show you Himself far beyond that which you could have ever asked or thought. Isn't God something? God is so good. Behold my servant. Our time is gone. I'm thankful that the Lord led me in the way He has led me now for you to see these things. And I trust that right now, maybe you're sitting there with your family watching this, but somehow, some way, maybe just in the quietness of your own place, you can bow your heart, whether you can bow your head or not, and you can come back to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you for doubting Him, that you want to glorify His holy name. And you want to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God again in your life. It ain't about doctors and nurses and diseases. It's about Jesus. May God help us. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. God bless you. Trust you'll be able to come and be with me in the second message.